Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Author and educator Howard Hendricks sat in a plane that was delayed for takeoff. After a long wait, the passengers became more and more irritated and agitated. Hendricks noticed, though, how gracious one of the flight attendants was as she spoke with them. After the plane finally took off, he told the flight attendant how amazed he was at her poise and self-control and said he wanted to write a letter of commendation for her to the airline. The stewardess replied that ultimately she didn't work for the airline company, but for Jesus Christ. She said that just before going to work, she and her husband prayed together that she'd be a good representative of Christ that day. Hendricks said, doing it for Christ's sake adds another dimension to submission. You're submitting not just to your employer or husband or parent, but to the Lord because of your love and gratitude for Him. The Lord is the focus here in Ephesians chapter 6. Children are to obey their parents, it says, in the Lord. Fathers are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it says. Servants and masters are to do service as to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says this, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Slavery was an established institution in Paul's day. Paul doesn't demand its overthrow or command slaves to rebel. Instead, Paul tells slaves to be a Christian where they are and to behave in a God-honoring way. This doesn't mean, though, that Paul approved of slavery. Paul's ministry was about preaching the gospel and winning the lost to Christ, and the thrust of the gospel is against slavery. I thought the King James Bible commentary put it well, and it says, "Slavery must ultimately disappear where the gospel is proclaimed, with its implications of human equality, Christian brotherhood, and the lordship of Christ." And so it is with the various issues that we find in this country that rightly anger us, that the spread of the gospel of the grace of God and the salvation of souls is where our focus should be and needs to be, because this is what's really going to bring about the true change in the hearts of people. The instructions and principles for the servant-master relationship, though, here apply easily to the labor management, employee-employer relations of today. Someone has figured that if you spend 40 hours a week on the job between age 18 and 65, that you would amass 97,760 hours on the job. That's a lot of time. And God cares what you do with that time, and He has instruction for that time. And He desires that you use your position in the workplace to bring honor and glory to Him in that time. Showing again the importance that our children learn obedience first in the home, we find that once they hit that workplace, verse 5 says, "Servants, be obedient in the workplace. Employees need to be obedient." Paul says that the servant should be obedient and listen and respond positively to their masters according to the flesh, or to their human master on earth. In other words, their employers. Believers are not to be stubborn or argumentative with their bosses. Believers are also not to obey their employers only when they desire. They are to obey at all times is the implication there. Be obedient is in the present tense in the Greek and speaks of a constant obedience. The submission, humility, discipline needed to carry out this instruction faithfully is done through the strength of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit, again, this instructions in light of chapter 5, verse 18, of being filled with the Spirit. So it's the Spirit's strength that allows us to carry out all of these instructions. The first obligation of the believer in the workplace to please the Lord and to be a faithful testimony to Him is by willing obedience to their employers. And following this instruction of obedience and by submission to the authority of our employers, the believer demonstrates their submission ultimately to the authority of the Word of God, because it is God's will that a believer be obedient to their bosses. You see here how a believer works in his job reflects on his Lord. The employee should obey with fear and trembling, the Apostle Paul says in verse 5. Now, fear and trembling does not speak of a cowering fright in front of their bosses. It speaks of a proper respect for their employer's authority and position. Humbleness of mind is needed to obey and to obey these instructions. The principle of authority and submission is God-given, and it's to be honored. God has allowed bosses to be where they are and employees to be where they are, and the believers to submit themselves to those under whose authority God has placed them in the workplace. The employee should be obedient also with singleness of your heart as unto Christ, it says there. Singleness of your heart means it's not hypocritical, it's not superficial, it speaks of being genuine. It's about working and obeying with a simple, sincere, focused, devoted desire on the task at hand, doing our work well that we're assigned to do. And this sincere, singly focused obedience is to be done as unto Christ, Paul says, yielding to and obeying His will for the Christian laborer out of love and respect for the Lord. And it's through His strength and for His praise and honor. Being a reliable, productive, cooperative worker is glorifying to our Lord. Every day at our jobs is a day of service to the Lord, ultimately. And as Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with your might. The place of employment of the believer is part of our field of service for Christ. We serve Christ in our jobs, and that comes through very clearly in these verses. When a believer does their work carefully and does it respectfully, it's a testimony to unbelievers, it's an encouragement to other believers, and it's ultimately service rendered to the Lord. The workplace is a mission field. A couple years ago, a pastor in Ohio left his church for various reasons, and we at Bream Bible Society contacted him and asked if he'd like to have his name made available to churches that were looking for pastors at the time. He wrote back the following email. A man from my church owns a paper mill, and so I started working in his factory today. I loved every minute of it, he said. All the guys have tattoos, body piercings, strange hair formations, and they use lots of profanity. He said, wow, what a terrific opportunity for evangelism. I'll earn their respect first, he said. Thank you for your offer to put my name out there to pastor, but I need some time just to work in a factory. And that's seeing your work as for Christ and as a mission field. Paul then goes on to say that our labor should not be with eye service. The boss caught Calvin sitting at his desk staring out the window. He said, why aren't you working, Calvin? Without much thought, Calvin confessed, because I didn't see you coming. Eye service speaks of working extra hard or working only when the employer or other employees are watching. The believer should not need to be checked up on, but always working hard whether or not someone is around and watching. But when you think about it, we actually are always working with someone watching because the Lord sees everything. Proverbs 5:21 says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. On March 11, 2004, terrorists exploded 10 bombs in Madrid, Spain, killing almost 200, wounding another 1,800. 2 months later, there was a scare in Philadelphia. It was May 5th, and a conductor for Pennsylvania's Transit Authority discovered something frightening on the tracks near Philly's massive 30th Street station. It was an electronic transmitter planted alongside the tracks in the commuter rail yard. Agents from the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI soon swarmed the scene. Investigators discovered that the mysterious gadget was in fact a motion detector designed to send a signal to a nearby receiver. Tension mounted. Finally, a trained mechanic, though, stepped forward and admitted to installing the transmitter. Was he a terrorist? Was he a disgruntled employee looking for revenge? No, the mechanic worked the graveyard shift and had installed the motion detector to sound an alarm in his work area whenever his supervisor was approaching. That way he could safely take a nap. If the alarm went off, he could get up and look busy when the boss showed up. And that's what eye service, what Paul means when he talks about eye service. Paul says, as servants or bond slaves of Christ belonging wholly to the Lord, we should not work only when someone's watching, seeking to please men, but rather our priority is to seek to please the Lord in all we do from the heart. Believers involved in secular labor are doing the will of God. In doing the will of God in the workplace, it is God's will that we be good testimonies by being submissive, obedient, respectful, sincere, hardworking, conscientious employees for the glory of our Lord. Jimmy was a committed believer who worked after school in a grocery store. One day a customer said to Jimmy after making a purchase of fruit, "Throw a few extra pieces into my sack." Jimmy said, "No, I can't do that. The boss wouldn't approve." The man said, "But the boss isn't here." Jimmy said, "Oh yes, he is. He's in. He's always in. I'm a believer."
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
This week's featured book, Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians by Pastor Paul Sadler, is a symphony of God's wonderful grace revealed in its fullness. Not even the angels of heaven had any knowledge of this hidden revelation until the conversion of Paul on the road to Damascus. This volume is a verse-by-verse commentary that extensively explores both the riches of God's grace and the riches of His glory. It takes a fresh new look at our standing and state from the perspective of the Word rightly divided. To order Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, contact Berean Bible Society at P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin 53022, or call 262-255-4750, or visit online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 say, "With goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." God's will also is that we with good will do service as to the Lord and not to men. We are to serve in our employment with good will, and that means a good mindset, good intentions, a good attitude. So it teaches that we shouldn't be complaining, bragging, criticizing, being disruptive or discouraging by a bad attitude. We're to serve with a proper perspective and motive as we are to work as to the Lord, verse 7 says, seeking to please the Lord and not men. As we serve in our jobs and obey our employers, we are to do so with the mindset that we are serving the Lord and doing what we do as unto Him. Thinking about it that way is to give us a different mindset in a higher perspective. The believer is to live on a different plane, knowing that really we're serving the Lord in all that we do, including our daily employment. Walter Wangren says this, "If a carpenter crafts a chair for a rich stranger, he may do it well, but if he crafts it for his daughter, he will do it lovingly." Much is different between the first and second crafting, and much is different between the two chairs too, though only he and his daughter may see the difference. Believers work not just for the pay, but also for the joy of knowing that we're actually serving our Savior in our jobs, and that what we do, we're doing it for Him and out of love for our Lord and for our families. This makes a difference for in how we work and the kind of effort that we give it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." The most menial and commonplace tasks in life are dignified when they're done for the glory of God. Everything we do, says, whatsoever you do, is to be done for Him and should glorify Him, including in our jobs. All of life is Christian. All of life is the Lord's and to be lived for Him. Jerry DeLuca writes, as believers, we sometimes exalt spiritual work and downplay simple labor. However, any work, no matter how mundane, that is done for God is spiritual work. That being true, Paul says then in verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. This teaches us that as we work faithfully and do good in our jobs as unto the Lord, we're going to be rewarded for it one day at the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand before the Lord at that day to give account of the journey of our entire Christian life, every one of us shall give account of ourselves to God, Romans 14:12 tells us. And it's been rightly said, no good thing done in His name and for His glory can pass His notice or fail to receive His blessing. God's Word assures us of eternal reward in our service rendered for the Lord, including our service rendered for the Lord within our daily employment. So we labor knowing that even if we are taken advantage of or we're passed over for a promotion or our hard work is overlooked and never recognized, our Lord will recognize it one day when we stand before Him and we'll receive eternal gain from Him one day. Stories told of an elderly missionary couple who were returning home on a ship after many years of sacrificial service in Africa. On the same ship was Theodore Roosevelt, who had just completed a highly successful big game hunt. As the ship docked in New York Harbor, thousands of well-wishers and dozens of reporters lined the pier to welcome President Roosevelt home. But not a single person was there to welcome these faithful missionaries. As the couple rode to a hotel in a taxi, the man complained to his wife. He says, "It just doesn't seem right. We give 40 years of our lives to Christ with the wind souls in Africa, and nobody cares. Nobody knows when we return. Yet the president goes over there for a few weeks to kill some animals, and the whole world takes notice." And his wife quietly reassured him and told him, "Dear, we're not home yet." For the believer who works faithfully at their job day after day to take care of their family and provide for them, and is a godly testimony in the workplace by their hard work, when we get home the glory, it will be recognized by the Lord. We will receive of the Lord and be rewarded and recognized by Him. He adds at the end of that verse, in verse 8, whether we be bond or free. Paul says, regardless of social class, not regardless of economic status, rewards are not adjusted to status or position in society. Christ does not regard such distinctions in His body or in His future judgment of the church. We are all one in Christ, and all will be justly and richly rewarded for service rendered to Him, for serving Him right where they're at in life. John Smith was a loyal carpenter working for a very successful building contractor who called him into his office one day and said, "John, I'm putting you in charge of the next house we build. I want you to order all the materials and oversee the whole job from the ground up." John accepted the assignment with great enthusiasm and excitement. For 10 days before ground was broken at the building site, John studied the blueprints. He checked every measurement, every specification. Suddenly, he had a thought. "If I am really in charge," he said to himself, "why couldn't I just cut a few corners, use less expensive materials, and put the extra money in my pocket? Who would know the difference? Once the house is painted, it will look just great." So John set about his scheme. He ordered second-grade lumber, but his reports indicated that it was top-grade lumber. He ordered inexpensive concrete for the foundation, put in cheap wiring, cut every corner he could, yet he reported the purchase of much better materials. When the home was completed and fully painted, he asked the contractor to come and see it. "John," said the contractor, "what a magnificent job you have done. You have been such a good and faithful carpenter all these years that I decided to show my gratitude by giving you this house you have built as a gift." What it comes down to in this passage is that God wants us to work with integrity and to demonstrate godly character on the job, to work for Him knowing that He observes and watches all that we do and that He will justly reward our service in the workplace. Ephesians 6:9 says, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Finally, Paul turns to the masters and gives instruction for them, telling them to do the same things unto them, to the employees. In other words, use the same attitude, the same spirit with regard to God's will in the workplace, doing it all for the Lord, doing it all in light of the authority of Christ. They are to treat their employees respectfully, kindly, fairly, doing their best for them with their best interests at heart. The motivation and goal should be the same among employer or the employee in the workplace to obey and please the Lord and do His will. Christ's likeness is the goal for both the employer and the employee. Paul tells the masters to be careful to forbear threatening, verse 9, or don't threaten, don't be abusive or inconsiderate, don't just throw your weight around or lord it over those that are beneath them. Employers are to obey these things, it says, knowing that your master also is in heaven, that they are under the supreme authority of the Lord and are accountable to Him and will have to answer for how they used and carried out their position one day. An employer is to know that his own authority is just functional and temporary, and that they are servants of Christ with their employees, and all of us are accountable to the same Lord. Paul's point also is that they as masters should treat those beneath them like their master in heaven treats them, with patience, kindness, fairness, grace, forgiveness. An employer should not show favoritism, just like the Lord, as it says, "Neither is there respect of persons with Him," with the Lord. Man has respect of persons, but God doesn't. God does not show favoritism, and the employer is no more important in himself than the least of his employees. The Lord will show no favor to the one because he was a boss, and he won't withhold favor from the other because he was an employee at the day of judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ. He will treat both equally, fairly, according to their character. This instruction is to motivate the bosses to treat their servants with justice, equity, and fairness. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." This instruction for employees and employers needs the strength of the Lord and needs the power of His might for it to be carried out as we yield to the Lord by faith. Our job, our work, It can be a strong testimony for the Lord. But an irresponsible, lazy lifestyle or a poor worth ethic, it discredits the gospel and it can discredit our testimony to the lost. But when we work diligently, we do our duties well and heartily to the Lord in our daily employment, it makes our faith attractive to the lost. By our jobs and how we carry them out, we can show Christ in us the hope of glory and be a bright light for the Lord in our jobs. Please visit our website at www.BreanBibleSociety.org to view our extensive library of materials we have to offer at BBS to help and enhance your study of God's Word. You can give us a phone call too at 262-255-4750 and we'll mail you a free price list. Thank you for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. Join us next time when we'll begin looking at our spiritual battle. We're going to see an example of the strength of the Lord over the supernatural demonic realm from Mark chapter 5. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Romans chapter 3 verses 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So our sin
separates us from God, and to be in God's presence forever, we must have our sins forgiven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ came to be our substitute. The one who knew no sin took our sins upon himself to pay the penalty for our sins and face the wrath of God against our sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him and fit and ready for heaven. To be saved from your sins and to have a home in heaven when you die, you just need to trust the good news that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Please make that decision today, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, to trust what he did for you on the cross and that he rose again, and you will have a home in heaven forever.
The Berean Bible Society was founded over 75 years ago for the sole purpose of helping believers understand and enjoy the Word of God. Our organization holds without apology to all the fundamentals of the Christian faith, and we believe that salvation is by grace through faith alone, based on the shed blood of Christ. We also emphasize the importance of proclaiming the whole counsel of God in light of the Pauline revelation. Insofar as Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, it is our firm conviction that in his epistles alone we have the doctrine, position, walk, and destiny for the church, the body of Christ, during the dispensation of grace. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand and enjoy the Bible and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.